cold, so I went to Atlanta last weekend, I think, to visit some friends. And there's this ministry that I'm a little bit in the heart of called the Worldwide Discipleship Association, and my friend is now the president of it. So I went down there to see him and get to know the staff. And it's a really sweet weekend. You guys know how airports are and how planes are. And I went down healthy and came back sick. That's how that goes. But it's good to be with you guys. And I think we all know it's been a crazy couple of weeks. Very heavy emotionally with Emily's passing. Homegoing. We probably should say it. She's now home. And what I wanted to do was share something that would hopefully be an encouragement to all of us. And I believe it will be. So I want to start in Psalm 23. And then look at John 10. So just so happens that apparently we've already looked at John 10 today. So it seems like the Spirit has an idea in mind. We're just joining the Holy Spirit in what he's doing. Isn't that awesome? And so I'll pray first. We'll start with Psalm 23. It's a familiar one. We all know it. I'm hoping that the Lord just shows us something new from it today. Mm-hmm. Namely about himself. So let's pray first. And we'll slowly walk through it. Tie it into John 10. And see where he takes us. So let's pray. So Father, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us through what Jesus did for us. Thank you that we couldn't save ourselves because there's no way. Thank you, Jesus, that you did everything required for us to be saved. It was an internal problem. We needed an internal solution. It's not something we can fix externally by being good, by trying hard, or any of that stuff, Lord. It's an internal problem. And thank you, Lord, that you came. You lived a perfect life. You died in our place. You shed your blood. You actually died. And 3 days later, you rose from the dead. And you made a promise to any of us, all of us, if we put our faith in what you did, you would take out our old dead heart, our old dead spirit, and you would cause us to be born again. You put in us a brand new heart and a brand new spirit. And then you would put your Holy Spirit inside us. So Holy Spirit, thank you for applying to us the work of Christ. Thank you that we are now in you. You are in us. And that is so awesome, the truth. Thank you that you are our shepherd. And it never changes. And how desperately we need a shepherd these days. Crazy things are happening in the world. Hard things are happening in us, around us, Lord, and we need a shepherd. And thank you that you are a perfect shepherd. You are a good shepherd. You're a great shepherd. And we just ask that as we look at these two passages, Psalm 23 and John 10, that we would just see you in this word. Already, Lord, we mentioned many things that we need your shepherding in. Family issues, school issues here, vision issues, direction issues. Where are we taking us? What are you doing with us next? All kinds of things. Health issues and everything else we mentioned. Be our shepherd this morning. Guide us into these things. Show us where you're going. And as always, thank you for always showing up. We pray that you would be the one that speaks today. We would just listen. So minister to every heart this morning. We give you this time. Take your word and set on fire. Just like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Their hearts were burning because you are in their midst, teaching them about how all these things bring to you. And then when the bread was broken, their eyes were open. So do that in us, Lord. Open our eyes to see you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, it's good to pray. It's good to be with you guys. And so yeah, let's start in Psalm 23. So what I'll do is I'm going to read a few verses from it, and then we'll kind of talk and break it down that way. That's kind of the best way to do this. So it starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd. Shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." So the Lord tells us, David tells us that the Lord, and the Lord here is in all caps, which that is his personal name, Yahweh. In the Old Testament, Yahweh was four letters, Y-H-W-H. Yes, there was no vowels at that point. And so someone said, you can check this up on your own, but when we're breathing in, like it almost has the sound of Yahweh. So every breath we take in and out, some commentators think we're breathing in and breathing out the very name of God. Isn't that interesting? If we really do have a breath of life in us, it's almost like every breath we take, we're saying God's name. It's an act of dependence upon God. We're basically saying, God, we need you. And that's literally what the song is all about. So anyway, David tells us that the Lord, his personal name, Yahweh, it means he's close, he's intimate. He is our shepherd. And so what that tells me is that we don't go through this life alone. I've lived a lot of my life seemingly alone, thinking that I have to figure things out on my own, I'm kind of an independent person, went through a whole lot of stuff. You guys know most of my story. And I thought, I'm going to figure this out on my own. And then when I met Jesus, I'm like, oh, I guess I don't have to do this thing alone anymore. I never have to do this thing alone anymore, ever. I have someone in me who literally is a wellspring of life, who is wisdom himself, so I can bring anything that I'm going through to Jesus in me. Isn't that awesome? He is my shepherd. He is our shepherd. He shepherds us. He leads us. He guides us through all of it. And the result, I shall not want. He meets all our needs. If our greatest need is salvation, which has been said numerous times this morning already, and he's met that perfectly for us, what does that tell us about our lesser needs? If Jesus has met our greatest need at great cost for himself, what does that also tell us about our lesser needs? I believe it tells us that he's going to meet them as well. And so then it goes on to say, our shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. Or, as a footnote says, beside waters of rest. Doesn't that sound awesome? He makes us lie down. You ever, get resistant to rest? So when he says he makes me lie down, not like he's forcing me to lie down, but, it's an opportunity to rest, as I put it. And he restores our souls. So look at all the verbs here. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores me. Isn't that just amazing? And I told you guys in the beginning, I got a chance to see my dear friend this weekend. And it was just refreshment for my soul. I guess I didn't realize just how much I needed it. Probably 2.5 years ago now, I was meeting with a counselor friend of mine who I've been meeting with for 20 years. And my counselor prayed something very odd. He said, you know, I'm going to pray for you that God gives you a soul-level friend. Someone that is like cut from the same cloth, that you guys just think alike, you act alike, like you, when you're talking to this person, it's just like the two of you just are like, are just one in that sense. And I have a lot of different kinds of friends. But I was like, man, I really want someone like that, where we're just, like David and Jonathan, that kind of friendship, where we're just, just like that. And you know what? I was having this counseling session. I was supposed to have with this person. They ended up calling out. And so they said, you know what? I want you to meet my friend, Nate. And so I'm like, all right, meet Nate. Then the second I met Nate, oh my gosh, just hearing about what he does with Worldwide Discipleship Association, WDA, is based on the harmony of the Gospels. I have been teaching the harmony of the Gospels for 20 years. It's also very much focused on emotional health. How we grow spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. I'm like, emotional health and harmony of the Gospels? Where has this been my whole life? Nate's been doing this for 15 years. We think alike, we talk alike, we have the same loves. It's like I'm looking in the mirror, but I see his face instead. And I'm like, this is so weird. How did I not know about you? And so I went and I saw him last weekend, and we spent the weekend just hanging out, and meeting his family, meeting all the rest of the staff that work there, and I'm like, it was so refreshing for my soul. And all these different points, I'm like, Jesus, you did this. You knew that my soul needed this. You knew that I needed rest and refreshment. And that I love to do life alone sometimes. I need traveling partners and people to do life with. Jesus, you did this. Thank you. He makes us down in the green pastures. He leads us beside still waters, toward waters of rest. He restores our souls. How is he doing that with you today? I shared how he's doing it with me. How is he doing that in your life today? Where do you think Jesus is trying to just lead you gently and quietly to not want to rest in green pastures, to just rest beside still waters, and to have your soul restored? We're not human doings. We've said this millions of times before. We're not human doings. We're human beings. How is he leading us to rest in him today? It could be just taking a day each week, like a Sabbath day, a rest day, a Sunday. I woke up today, I'm like, I got all these plans. I woke up, it's raining. I guess the Lord wants me to rest. And then I just went right back to bed. And I woke up, you know, 2 hours later. I'm like, wow, that actually, okay, Lord, I guess you're having me apply these scriptures. That's a good thing. He makes us rest. That's a good thing. All right, let's keep going. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And David's saying, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I would fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. So our shepherd leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though we walk through some pretty dark valleys, he says the path of the valley of the shadow of death. Some of us, if not all of us, have been through that valley this week. Not a fun place to go. It's a hard place to go. But he's even with us in that. The promise is that even when we go through those hard valleys, those death-filled kind of places, he doesn't abandon us in those. He says we can fear no evil because he is with us. Remember Emmanuel? The name Emmanuel, God, with us. So no matter what we're going through, no matter how hard it gets, he doesn't cut and run. He is with us. His rod and his staff comfort us. Because know this, sometimes we need correction. That's what the rod and the staff are for. Sometimes we need that correction. But it's a promise, no matter what we're going through, the presence, we don't go through it alone. His rod and his staff brings comfort, brings correction, but it brings presence as well. Let's keep going. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so our shepherd prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He enables us to love our enemies. This is one of the things that sets Christianity apart from every other world religion. This is what Jesus is doing in us. He actually enables us to love enemies. I was listening to a message series on this very topic this past week, and I'm like, oh, wow. It's easy to love people who love you, who are kind to you, who are gracious to you. What happens when people aren't? What do you do then? How do you love your enemies? Well, let's remember Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Well, the very one who was nailed to a cross is basically asking his Father to forgive them. He dies, he rises, he ascends to heaven, he pours out his Spirit, and now he's in us. What that shows me is that the very one who loves enemies is in me. So that means when I get into a situation and I have people that aren't very charitable or kind, or maybe I'm in enemy mode, we'll talk about that in a second. And I'm just feeling out with this person or people. Guess what? The very person who loved enemies perfectly is in me, so he can help me move toward people with love and not meet anger with anger. This is Christian maturity 101. We love our enemies. We bless those who persecute us. We pray for those who hate us and mistreat us. This is how, again, sets us apart from the world and every other religion. We need Jesus to do this. I mentioned a second ago about enemy mode. This is literally a part of our brain when we shift from relational
emotional circuits go off and we get into what's called enemy movement. We stop acting like ourselves. We treat people as problems to be solved instead of people to relate to. And this can happen very quick. Right? When people start mistreating us or saying stupid stuff about us or whatever, it's like the switch goes off and we can just start reacting in the flesh instead of loving by the spirit. Ever been there? Not a fun place to be. And then how do you get out of that place and see the person through God's eyes? I can't remember if I shared this example, but there was a husband and a wife. We're both kind of stuck in enemy mode toward each other. And so they ended up going counseling. And neither of them really knew how to get out of enemy mode. They both were kind of prickly. They both were kind of just constantly arguing and fighting. And they were married for a super long time. And they were both stuck in enemy mode. They couldn't remember good things about the other person, why they loved each other, what they appreciated about each other. Mm-hmm. And so they went to counseling. And the counselor said, all right, we're going to try it. Exercise here. I want us to stop and ask Jesus, Lord, how is the enemy influencing our relationship right now? What image is he giving the spouse about the other person? And so the husband did it, and he saw basically a monster with big fangs. That's how he was seeing his wife. Oh, geez. So if the enemy can give us an image about our spouse, well, all right, so then the wife did it to her husband, or the other way around, I forget what I even said, and basically saw a ball and chain around the ankle. Whoa. Imagine that marriage. One spouse, so the husband is seeing his wife like a monster with big fangs and red eyes, and then the wife is seeing her husband like a ball and chain around her foot. How do you think that marriage is going to go? I think that's going to be a fun place to be. I think there are going to be great people to be around. You want to do your Bible study? You want to do your potluck? Hi, brother. Hi, sister. Like, not fun. And then we're like, all right, well, how about we let Jesus give us a better image instead? And this is what broke it for them. Lord, give me the image of my spouse that you want me to see. Help me see them through your eyes. And then in that moment, the husband saw his wife in a white dress, pure, spotless, clean, on a beach, flowing, dancing, free. And then the wife was a bit resistant, but said, all right, Lord, give me the same image. Give me an image of how you see my husband. And it was like one of those heroes from those movies. I forget what it was. But it changed how they saw each other. And then they were able to forgive each other and move toward each other in love. And it wasn't perfect, but they got out of enemy mode and they started getting relational toward each other. They still needed a lot more counseling. They still needed a lot more work. But it helped to think, all right, Lord, it's inviting Jesus into our marriage. It's letting him work on things. Right? It's getting us out of enemy mode and moving us back toward a relationship with the person. He really does set a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He enables us to love our enemies. He anoints our head with oil. This is an image of protection. Right, so you read through all the scriptures. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. You see it all in the Old Testament. You see it all in the New Testament. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. And so our course, our cup is going to overflow, and God fills it. He's not stingy. He's lavish toward us. So he protects us. He fills us, right? And look at the wonderful promise as it ends. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So think of the image here. As we follow him as our shepherd, goodness and mercy follow us. That's kind of cool. So we're following Jesus as our shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And the promise is goodness and mercy follow us in return. And when does that happen? All the days of our life. It's a promise of good that comes for those who follow Christ. It's not just for this life either. Notice, he promises that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it's not just this life, it's also for the life to come. And so what a good shepherd that we have. And so that's the Old Testament, right? That's Psalm 23. There's so much more in there, but this is just kind of a quick flyover. I want to get to John 10 as well. And I want us just to see that we have such a good shepherd, and I want to kind of keep extending this theme now into John 10. Apparently you guys haven't looked at a piece of John 10. I want to look at the beginning of John 10 this morning as we wrap up. So John 10, 1 through 11. Quick recap, because we haven't been in John for a really long time. John 10 comes on the heels of John 9. In John 9, that's where Jesus heals the man born blind. You know, there's a double healing. The guy is blind physically, but he's also blind spiritually. And Jesus healed his physical blindness first, and then he heals his spiritual blindness, right? And it's pretty eye-opening, pun intended. It's a progression with the man regarding his vision about Jesus. So again, John 9 was the instrument of 10. So the man basically calls him the man they call Jesus, and they call him a prophet. This man came from God, and then he leaves around the earth, and he worships him. So what we see is his vision getting better and better, seeing Jesus more and more clearly as he goes. And then it's literally the exact opposite with the Pharisees. They go for what they think is sight. Oh, we know exactly who you are. And they really go into deeper and deeper blindness. The more they reject the word, the harder their hearts become. And John 9 ends by saying, "The judgment is Jesus. I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this, and they're like, "What, are you blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." And so now Jesus literally, he doesn't even skip a beat, just keeps going with the same thing right into John 10. Notice that when the Gospels were written, well, actually Old Testament, so there's no verses, there's no like verse numbers. It's one long story, right? And so this just keeps going right into John 10. So that's why I wanted to give this context. So John 10, 1, at least in our Bible, says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," he's talking about the Pharisees here, "he who does not enter by the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief. So Jesus is continuing the conversation with the Pharisees here, and he shifts from the light, darkness, blind seeing thing to that of a shepherd with the sheep. We're going to get a little more insight now into Jesus here. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," that's Jesus' way of saying, "Listen up, like cue into what I'm about to say here. This is pretty important." He says that he who doesn't enter the sheepfold by the sheepfold by the door, climbs in another way, that guy is a thief and a robber. The sheepfold was a place of shelter for the sheep. So what Jesus is saying is that the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, and they're not the true shepherds of Israel. What they're offering the people is not salvation. They themselves don't have it, and what they offer the people, if perceived, will actually steal God's life from them. As we said before, this is an inside problem. And no amount of external offerings or solutions or choices can fix an internal problem. All they were offering was just external solutions. That's what every single world religion is they're not diagnosing the problem correctly, and so they're offering just more external solutions. Here's another external solution. Be good. Climb another mountain. Do these five pillars. Do these many prayers. They're all external solutions. They can't fix an internal problem. Here are the Pharisees offering another bunch of external solutions, namely 613 of them. They're trying perfectly to keep the law of the Old Testament. They missed that the law of the Old Testament was pointing them to their need internally for a Savior. They're missing it. They're blind. They didn't see their blindness, and so they kind of did a lot of bad things in their blindness, but nonetheless. So Jesus continues now, verses 2 through 5. He says, "He who entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." This is our good shepherd, right? "To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice." I love this. "And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." Look at this. "When he's brought them out, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." It's So that, this is picking her up a little bit more now on the Good Shepherd theme from Psalm 23. This is an intimate kind of thing. The shepherd's calling the sheep by name. The sheep know him. You know his voice. He's calling them by name. The sheep follow him. It's a listening to him, right? Jesus says that the one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the door for him. And the imagery here is so tender. The sheep, that's us by the way, hear his voice. He calls his own by name. He leads them out. He goes before them. The sheep can trust him because they know him, they know his voice. He doesn't speak like a stranger. He speaks like someone that we trust. And that is our Jesus. He is our good shepherd. And I was thinking about this. I've shared this before, but I'll say it again. Every person on the planet needs a shepherd. We all do. We need someone to guide us. We all listen to someone or something, right? We all have our favorite news outlet political party or whatever. There's people that influence us, for good or for ill. The idea is, the question is the person, the ideology, is it worth listening to? Is it shepherding us? Is it forming us? Or is it now forming us and deforming us? Are we becoming more like our shepherd? Because here's the deal. Whoever we listen to, we're probably going to become a little more like. Who has access to our heart? Who are we really listening to? Because whoever we really truly listen to, we're going to become more like. So the idea here, Jesus is basically big neon sign, I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Listen to me. Become more like me. Our shepherd calls us by name. He really intimately knows us. He leads us. He goes before us. We can trust him because we know him in his voice. He is someone we can trust. And so a few weeks ago, I'll just give this quick example and we'll wrap up. Man, I was having a hard day at the mission. You guys have worked there now for 3 years. And man, when I say hard day, it's really a hard week and probably a hard month, actually. And I was downcast. I was sad. I was upset. I wasn't speaking up in meetings. And man, it just wasn't good. I don't know what was going on. I don't know if it was I was just tired or sick or what the deal was. And so I got called to a meeting. And they're like, what is up with you? Just kind of down. And before the meeting, though, I'm like, you know, I'm going to take a walk with the Good Shepherd. I'm going to ask Jesus' thoughts on this. And so I'm like, all right, Lord, what is up with this? You know how I'm feeling? You know what's going on in me? And sure enough, as I'm walking, I've got this image of this pool, right? So you guys know Perry. He has, probably 10 years ago now, got this old pool in his yard. He wanted a pool for a super long time. His friend, the judge, had this old pool. And basically, the judge was like, yeah, you can have it. He's going to tear it down, bring it back to your house, and move it back up. So Perry did that. I got to his house, and all the pieces of the pool were in his front yard. He was spray painting it. He was fixing up things that were broken. But he set up this old pool on his yard. It's one of those above-ground pools, swimming pools. And so in this image, I remember I helped him kind of set it all back up and get it ready. But in the image, I'm imagining myself trying to bring like new pieces to the old pool. And they didn't fit. So all the new things I'm bringing to the pool, I had my hands full of them. I'm like, hey, let's try this. Didn't fit. Hey, let's try this thing. Didn't fit. Hey, let's try this other thing. Didn't fit. I was getting more and more sad and dejected. I had a bunch of stuff in my hands trying to fit it into the pool. And then, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart. You can't put new wine into old wineskins. I saw it so clear. That's exactly what I was trying to do. It's an old system. It's an old pool. And until things change and maneuver or whatever. And it was so freeing. Because here I am. I'm trying to bring all these kinds of changes. And try this and fix this and try that. And the Spirit's leading me this way. You guys know me right now. I like to try new things. I'm not content with just doing the old thing, the old way, the old way. Like, no, I want to try new things. And the Spirit was like, no, rest. Leave me beside still waters. It gives me rest. And it brought me to a level of peace. So I was able to go into the meeting and just be like, listen, this is probably why I was so sad and frustrated. I've been trying to bring new things to an old system, and it's not time yet. It's not the right time. It's not the right season. And here's my deal. I just want to see you, Harry. I want to see you retire and end well, however long it takes, whatever that looks like. And instead of me trying to change things in the meantime, I just want to honor you. And that's why I told him. But without walking with the shepherd and getting that image, I wouldn't have known that. I would have been going into the meeting probably sad and dejected and have no idea what's been going on. I can't tell you, since that time, it was like 3 weeks ago, I've been so free at the mission. So I'm not trying to change anything anymore. I'm just there to serve. And guess who did that? The good shepherd. Wasn't anything my own doing. In fact, I changed about 15,000 things there. And Jesus is like, no. Trust me, I got this. It was so incredible to be like, oh my gosh, Jesus, you really are the good shepherd. And it took the weight off my shoulders. And I was just like, Lord, it's yours. And then all these verses came up, like, wow, you really are the good shepherd. I really can trust you. You really are the door for the sheep. And then finally, the last verses for today, John 10, 10 through 11. The thief really does come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his MO. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. But Jesus came, and we may have life and have it abundantly. He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's exactly what I need to hear. But the enemy is stealing, killing, destroying. You need to focus on all the other stuff. I need to remember, no, Jesus, you're my shepherd. Wherever you lead, wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you. You are my good shepherd. So I guess as we wrap up today, I just wanted to ask this one more time. How are we following the good shepherd these days? Where do you see him going in your life? Maybe you're at a gridlock or one of those places where you just can't figure out what's going on in your life. And you're like, I just don't know what to do about this thing. Maybe it's time to go to the shepherd and say, Lord, what's your take on this? Is there a scripture? Is there an image? Is there something that you can give me to help me see behind the curtain, so to speak, see your perspective on this thing? And then be open to what he shows you. He gave me an image of a pool. I thought, this is the stupidest thing I've ever. A pool? The second I saw it, I started interacting with Jesus on it. I'm like, that's exactly what I needed. And he gave me the scripture, and it just blew my mind apart. And I've been at peace ever since. So how does Jesus want to speak to your heart today? It could be weird, but it also could be the very thing you need to walk with your good shepherd into whatever he's calling you into next. How is the good shepherd leading us to rest? How is he leading us beside still waters? How is he guiding us? So, all of that. This is not just mental exercise here. We're talking about really following a good shepherd who loves us and wants to speak to us and lead us and guide us in all things that we're about. We're not just Christian deists. Right? You know what deism is? God created the world, made the world, and he just kind of steps back and does this. That's not what we are. God's up there, we're down here, we're just slugging this thing out. We're called to an intimate relationship with God where he leads us and guides us. He really is our shepherd, and nothing else satisfies. I try it all, it doesn't work. This is my hope for myself and for us to follow Jesus this way. Let's pray. So, Lord, I want to thank you that you really are our good shepherd. Thank you. Thank you. You knew we needed you. I think of Adam and Eve, they walked with you in the cool of the day. And how my heart longs for that, Lord, is to walk with you and talk with you and bring everything to you. And Lord, you know how independent I like to be. I like to figure things out. I like to do life on my own. And how much of that is just wounding, probably. But Lord, you just keep inviting me into relationship with you. You keep showing me that I never ever have to do that again. When I have you in me, really? I could talk to you about everything and really, truly talk to me and guide me through your word and by your spirit. Why would I ever want to do life alone? It's ridiculous. Jesus, you are my shepherd. You really do lead us beside still waters and calm our soul, and you protect us and you provide for us and all these things. You're the door and you just all the things we talked about today. So Lord, if we just need some kind of breakthrough in this, if we just need to get with you and talk to you about some things, help us do that today and this week. Help us find quiet times to just bring the thing of wrestling to you and get your perspective on it. Because we need your perspective, Lord. You're overall. We're not. And so, Lord, I just pray that we would come to you about everything and listen to you and trust you. And that does take a heart of faith. Mm. We can trust you. If you lay down your life for us, and you took it back up again, Lord, you really are in us now. Lord, that shows us we can trust you. So help us do that. Lord, I pray you keep healing our hearts. I pray you keep working in us and just guide us forward. We ask this all in your name. Amen.